And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blast-off. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
It is, 11:08 on a Saturday night, Lisa. This is September 24th, 2016. Program 115 in the WGN Radio Theater series. I'm your host, Carl Amari. To my right, the vivacious, effervescent, and very dimpled Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Oh, that's a lot to live up to.
How are you, Carl? I'm good. And you know who else is here?
I sure do. We've got our producer, Elif Garris. We missed you last week, and we are so glad that you're back.
She's back.
I missed you guys, too, and it's good to be back.
Yeah.
I've been running around a lot, but it's very nice to be back
here. She was at her sister's wedding, and she is your sister is now on her way to Bali?
Tomorrow.
Wow. 27 hours on a plane? No, thanks. I'd rather be here doing the WGN Radio Theater. Much more fun. And tonight we have The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet going back to 1949. Then it's A Good Mystery on Murder at Midnight, which will come on at midnight. And then Have Gun, Will Travel, Good Western. So we have a comedy, a mystery, and a Western on this edition of the WGN Radio Theater, all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity School. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the upcoming drama A Monster Calls as a giant humanoid tree who tells stories to help a boy deal with his unhappy life.
I can hear this guy talking as a tree.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was in a movie with this guy one time.
I'm sure you were, yeah.
I used to be an actor years ago.
Years back.
Like a whole four lives ago.
Yes.
And I was in a movie with this guy.
Great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
And if you guess this guy correctly, you will win a pair of tickets to see Mamma Mia at the Paramount Theater in Aurora.
312-981-7200. Here's a hint. You'll hear him here.
If you're looking for ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills.
Yes, he does, Lisa. Very particular.
As do we all.
Yes. 312-981-7200. Identify that celebrity. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. This is the WGN Radio Theater, our show 115, and we are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
If you're looking for ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills.
Let's talk to Zach. How are you, Zach?
I'm not bad. How about yourself?
I'm not bad either. Who is that voice?
That would be Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson.
One that's hard to define.
Yes, yes, you are exactly right, and you are a winner. We're so happy to give you a pair of tickets to see Mamma Mia at the Paramount Theater in Aurora. It's playing right now through October 30th. It's a great show. You can hear the music of ABBA. I love that show. I've seen it so many times, and I could keep going again. You can check it out at ParamountAurora.com. Zach, thank you so much for calling in, and we appreciate your listening.
Not a problem. Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks, Zach. All right. It's our first episode on this edition of the WGN Radio Theater. It's a good comedy on The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. You like Ozzie and Harriet?
I sure do. I love the comedies.
You do like the comedies. That's because you're a funny, funny
That's
gal.
That's because I appreciate...
You're very Lucille Ball-ish.
Well, I strive to be, yes.
Yes. So this was a situation comedy, came to radio in 1944, and it had real-life husband and wife, Ozzie and Harriet. His last name was Nelson. She kept Hilliard. I don't know why, but they were always saying Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard.
Although, I like the way that sounds, Hilliard.
Yeah,
it works.
But the series focused mainly on the Nelson family at home dealing with everyday problems. And until 1949, their real sons, David and Ricky, did not portray themselves on the radio. They had other actors. But in 1949, Harriet and Ozzie felt, you know what, we could have our real sons play the parts now. So that's what happened. Until then, it was other actors. There was 402 radio episodes. Then in 1952, it transitioned to television, became a huge success on TV. I mean, it was pretty popular on radio, but on TV, it really, really excelled. It went all the way to 1966 on television. And, of course, Ricky Nelson, he was musically gifted. He became a big rock and roll star. And the rest is history. So we have an episode now, a radio episode going back to January 23rd, 1949. It's called Card Tricks, and you will hear David and Ricky Nelson on this. Here's part one of the adventures of Ozzie and Harriet.
Hey, David, look at all the sandwiches.
Ah, don't touch those. They're for the party this afternoon. Ozzie, stop eating those olives. There'll be none left.
Well, they're good. I don't know why you're getting so mad anyway. I'm leaving the pimentos on the plate. Your buffet looks beautiful.
Oh, of course it does. The solid silver with beauty that lives forever is international sterling. And put down that stuffed egg.
The solid silver with beauty that lives forever is international sterling. From Hollywood, International Silver Company, creators of international sterling, presents The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, starring America's favorite young couple, Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard. Signs of activity at 1847 Rogers Road, where the Nelsons live. Harriet, busy as a beaver, scurries through the house putting things in order. In the living room, Ozzie, husband and helpmate, keeps the boys out of Harriet's way. Or could it be vice versa? What's Ozzie doing anyway? What? He's got a deck of cards and some sort of a book. Oh, I see. It's a book of card tricks.
Take a card, David. Any card at all.
Okay, let's see. I'll take this one.
No, not that one. Any other card.
Take the one sticking out in the middle. He keeps pushing it at you.
Okay, now I'll take this one.
Eight of spades?
That's right, Pop.
See, David, that trick is what the book calls forcing a card on a person. The eight of spades was the card I wanted you to take.
Well, that's what I figured when you poked me in the eye with it.
Can we go now, Pop?
Well, don't you want me to do a couple more card tricks for you?
Oh, sure, Pop. It's just that some of the kids are waiting for us.
We're supposed to play basketball.
Well, just one more, though, huh? This one's a beauty. This one on page 65. No, don't peek at the book. Now, as you know, there are 52 cards in the deck. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 15, 20, 25, 28, 30, 35. 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52. You saw them all. 52.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Ricky, pick a card. Any card at all.
Look out for your eye, Ricky.
Okay, I got one.
Now, tear up the card.
Tear it up?
I know what I'm doing. Tear it up. Now, throw the pieces in the fireplace. Now, I counted out the cards, and you saw there were 52. Ricky has taken one card and torn it up, or so it would seem. But when I count them out, there will be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 30, 33, 37, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51. David, would you get me another deck of cards, please?
What's that one called, Pop? Forcing a person to tear up a card?
No, it worked perfectly last night.
Can we go now, Pop?
Well, of course. I was just trying to entertain you a little.
Why don't you do some tricks for Mom? She doesn't play basketball.
Well, your mother's busy making sandwiches and things. Well, that's okay, fellas. You go ahead.
Come on, Ricky. We're late.
Harriet! Harriet, where are you? Harriet! Come on. I know you're in the house.
Were you calling me?
Oh, yes. Harriet, take a card.
Oh, I'm awfully busy, dear. The house is an absolute mess, and the girls will be here at 3 o'clock.
We don't have to stop working. You just take a card. Come on, any card at all.
Okay.
Now, put it back in the deck. Shuffle the cards. Cut them. What was the card you selected?
Ten of diamonds.
Mm-hmm. Now, will you look at the top card, please?
All right. Why, Ozzie, that's wonderful. You fooled me completely. Oh. I thought it was going to be the ten of diamonds, and it's the four of clubs.
It's pretty clever. It's very clever.
If you'll pardon me, dear, I have so much to do.
No, just one more, huh? This one is called forcing a card on a person. Now, take a card, anyone at all.
Oh, my eye.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll get it, if I can see it.
Hit you in the eye.
Hello?
Hello, Harriet. It's Mother.
You try it again. Now, take another card.
Hello, Mother. How are you?
Fine, dear.
You
how are you?
Seen this. Well, here, take a card. Now,
I'm talking to Mother.
Yes, I know you are, dear.
I was talking to Ozzie.
Oh, it sounded like you said you were talking to Mother.
Well, I was, but I was talking to Ozzie.
Here, now, any card at all.
Pardon me, Mother. Ozzie, stop it.
Shall I call back later, dear?
He's doing card tricks for me.
Here, now take a card.
Just a minute, Mother.
That's it. Now put the card back, but remember it.
What card did you get, dear?
The ten of clubs.
Harriet, you told me the card.
I told Mother.
Now, take another one.
What's that, Mother?
I didn't say anything.
You would? Oh, I know he'd be delighted.
What did she say?
She wants to know if you'll come over and entertain her this afternoon. Mother loves card tricks.
What?
Harriet, I said no such thing. I'm not going to be your husband's sitter.
Well, go ahead and talk to your mother. I want to practice this a little more. David, Ricky.
This is the afternoon you're having the girls over, isn't it, dear?
Yes, Mother. It's 3:00.
That's what I thought. And I'm happy to tell you, you couldn't have picked a better day. I looked up your horoscope, and today is your day to meet people. You're bubbling over with personality.
Well, that's nice to hear, but frankly, I think I'd bubble a lot more if I could get Cardini out of the house.
Who, dear?
Shuffles Nelson. Better known to us as Ozzie. He's been pick-a-carding me to death all day. Somebody gave him a book of card tricks for Christmas, and unfortunately, he's just discovered it.
Well, now, dear, you don't want to hurt his feelings. If you want Ozzie out of the house, I'll give you a formula I used to use on your father. It got him out of the house every time.
Well, go ahead. I'll try anything.
It's just ordinary psychology, but it always works. Just tell him how nice it is having him around the house.
Is that all?
No. Then you ask him to help you with a few things.
And that's all there is to it?
No, not quite. Now, this part is very important. Step back and make sure the door is open.
Well, thanks for the advice, Mother, because I've got a million things to do.
I know what a nuisance it can be having interruptions when you're getting ready for a party.
Yes, well, thanks, Mother. I've got to finish...
And just don't realize when they're in the way... They aren't as sensitive to those things as women are.
You're right, Mother.
It works every time. Say you want one thing, and they'll do the other.
Yes, Mother. Well, I really have to finish
my... It's really clever, isn't it? But it's reliable. Just say the opposite. Am I holding you up, dear? If I'm keeping you from your work, I'll get off the phone.
Well, frankly, Mother... No, not at all. Keep right on talking, Mother.
Okay. Goodbye, dear.
What did your mother want?
Oh, she just called me up to tell me about my horoscope. According to Mother, this is a good day for me. The tea party will be a tremendous success.
Oh, good for you. I sure get a kick out of your mother in that astrology book. Pick a card, Harriet.
Oh, Mother. You know, dear, it's awfully nice having you around this afternoon.
What'd you say?
I say it's awfully nice having you around.
Well, after being married 13 years, I'm glad to hear you finally say that.
I mean today in particular, dear. You're such a steadying influence. You're so much fun, too. Here, let me hang this dust rag over your arm. And not many women have such a wonderful husband. Let me lean this mop against you. You're certainly...
Where's my coat? I know what you're up to.
What do you mean, what I'm up to?
Harriet, your mother's a fine woman. But when it comes to psychology, she should stick to being a fine woman.
What are you talking about?
I know what you're trying to do. She told you to try a little psychology on me, but it's not going to work.
Oh?
You know I know reverse psychology. You pretend you want me around the house, so I'll leave. That's reverse psychology.
Oh?
But knowing that I know reverse psychology, you try reverse psychology. See, you say you want me inside, so I'll think you want me outside. Actually, you want me inside. But thinking you want me outside, I stay inside. But I'm going to fool you. I'm going outside.
For me, dear.
I just know psychology. You can even reverse psychology, so it's triple reverse. Now, that works this way. You want me outside. I think you want me inside, but you really want me outside. So instead of staying outside, I stay... No. I go outside.
Ozzie?
Yes?
Pick a card.
Hi, Oz.
Oh, hello, Farney.
What are you chuckling about?
It's amazing how people can go off on ridiculous tangents.
Who'd you have in mind?
Harriet's mother, for instance. A wonderful woman and very intelligent. But she got a book of astrology for Christmas, and now she pesters everybody to death with horoscopes. All this silly junk.
I'm not so sure about that, Oz. An awful lot of people believe in that stuff.
Oh, a lot of people believe in anything, Thorny.
What's your horoscope for today?
Well, she didn't tell me mine, just Harriet's. This is a very good day for Harriet. A lucky day. Pick a card, Thorny. Any card at all.
Let's see. I'll take this one. Funny she didn't tell you your horoscope.
Now put it back in the deck. That's it. You mean maybe mine isn't so good for today? Unlucky day or something?
Yeah. Well, naturally, she wouldn't tell you. She wouldn't want you to worry.
If this were a dangerous day for me, Harriet wouldn't let me out of the house, you see. She'd insist...
Something the matter, Oz?
Well, come to think of it, she did... try to keep me in the house. She even used reverse psychology.
Then what are you waiting for?
Oh, Thorny, those horoscopes are a lot of silly nonsense.
Maybe yes and maybe no. I happened to look mine up in a book one day, and it said a relative will cause you financial worry.
Well?
That same afternoon, I got a letter.
From a relative?
Uh-huh. Uncle Sam wanted $55 more income tax.
Hey, wait a minute, Thorny. It just dawned on me. Harriet wants me to stay in this afternoon, and for a very good reason.
Well, sure, your horoscope.
No, this has nothing to do with horoscopes. She's giving a tea party this afternoon. Of course, I should have thought of it. She wants me to entertain with my card tricks. By the way, what happened to the card you picked?
You put it back in the deck and shuffled it.
Oh, we got to talking here. I forgot which one.
That's it, right there.
Well, how can you tell?
I can still see the dent you put in it with your fingernail. Get back in the house, Oz, please. I'm worried.
All right, that's the first portion of The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet from January 23rd, 1949. Card tricks. We'll get back to it in a few minutes. Let's take a break, and then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, we're back. This is the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. Lisa Wolf, my co-host, is right next to me here. Lisa, what's up, Lisa?
Hey, Carl.
Good to see you. I haven't seen you in 6 days.
It feels like just yesterday we were here, but somehow it's not.
But it's nice to have Elif back because she was gone a whole week.
Yep.
And it's nice to have you back, Elif.
Thank you. I love being back here. I missed you guys very much.
Oh, good. We missed you,
she
too.
She missed me anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we are listening to Ozzie and Harriet, who had a great career on radio, but a much bigger career on television. I don't believe they did any movies together, but they had a very successful television show. And we're listening to a radio episode from January 23rd, 1949. Here's the conclusion now of Card Tricks on The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet.
Ozzie, what are you doing back? I thought you'd gone for the day.
Oh, Harriet, I couldn't leave you in a lurch. I'm back to lend you a hand.
Oh, but honestly, dear, I don't need one. I'm doing beautifully.
Oh, Harriet, never mind the psychology. Why didn't you just come out and say you want me to entertain with my card tricks?
Your card trick? Oh, Ozzie, really, dear, you wouldn't want to do your tricks for a lot of women. We wouldn't appreciate them.
Harriet, if you don't want me in the house, just say so.
Ozzie, I love you dearly, but I don't want you in the house this afternoon.
You know, reverse psychology. When will you learn that I'm wise to that? You say you don't when you do.
Okay, dear, I'll confess. I hate to impose on you, but do you suppose I could coax you to do a few card tricks for the ladies this afternoon?
Just as I thought. Of course I will, dear. Here, pick a card.
Oh, my eye.
Do you suppose, could Thorny be right about Ozzy's horoscope? Or is he just jumping to conclusions? See that man with poker deck in hand following Harriet Nelson around the dining room? That's Ozzy Nelson, father, husband, and take a card. Ozzy's always been fascinated by the art of prestidigitation. Perhaps he'll not stop with mere card tricks, but go on to greater things. Wonderful, mysterious, unbelievable feats of magic.
Ladies and gentlemen, in my right hand you see a pistol. In my left hand I hold a small boy.
Hello, everybody.
I take aim with the pistol.
Hello, everybody.
I pull the trigger. And in my left hand, you now see a small boy with a hole in his head. Ladies and gentlemen, before me you observe a table. On the table, a high silk hat. Into this hat I shall now break several eggs. A quart of milk. Two or three ripe tomatoes and a bottle of ink. I take the magic wand, wave it above the hat, and presto, I reach inside the hat and...
Hello, everybody.
A small, messy boy with a hole in his head. Gentlemen, I shall now perform the greatest trick ever conceived. Standing before me, you see a long wooden box. In this hand, I have a saw. And in this hand, I have a small boy.
Hello, everybody.
With a hole in his head. I now place the small boy in the box. Put the lid on, and now I saw. The box is now in two pieces. I separate the pieces and...
Hello, everybody.
Yes, sir, there's no telling how far Ozzy may progress in the field of magical science. Perhaps he's about to spring one of his newest mysterious tricks at this very moment.
Harriet, take a card.
Oh, Ozzy, please, I've got to make these sandwiches.
Sandwiches. Take a card.
All right.
Now, I'll close my eyes while you slip it back in the deck. Okay? Now I shuffle. Harriet.
Yes, dear?
Give me back the card and take this slice of ham out of the deck.
Well, see who's at the door, will you, dear?
Hello, Mr. Nelson.
Oh, hello, Emmy Lou. Come on in.
I brought over the napkins Mrs. Nelson wanted to borrow for the tea this afternoon.
Take a card, Emmy Lou.
Oh, Mr. Nelson, do you do card tricks?
Well,
my goodness, there seems to be no end to your talent.
Well, I've only been doing them for a few days. I'm really not very good yet.
Oh, yes, you are. You're wonderful. You're terrific.
Oh, thank you. Well, let me do the trick first. Here, take a card.
Which one do you want me to take?
Anyone at all.
The King of Diamonds.
No. Emmy Lou, you're not supposed to tell me the card. I'm supposed to tell you. You see, that's the trick. All right, try it again. Now, pick a card.
Let me see. I'll take this one.
Now, don't let me see it.
Okay. Now, what do I do?
Put it back in the deck.
Oh, this is so exciting.
Now, what did you say? Watch carefully now, because I'm going to shuffle. I look through the cards, and there's the one you picked out, the Five of Hearts. That's it, isn't it?
Oh, dear, I'm so sorry, Mr. Nelson. I got so excited, I forgot to look. Do it again.
Well, I better rest my fingers a while. My little pinky's getting a Charlie horse.
How come you're staying at home today with all these women coming to tea?
Well, Mrs. Nelson wanted me to stay around and sort of keep things going.
Oh, how thoughtful, Mr. Nelson. How considerate of you. You're the kind of man I want to marry.
Oh, Emmy Lou.
You are, Mr. Nelson, a perfect darling. A man who's just one of the girls.
Oh. Are you sure you're not looking at me from an angle? The reason I'm here is because, well, Mrs. Nelson has practically forced me to stay. You see, she wants me to entertain with my card tricks. She kept coaxing me, so I finally gave in.
Oh, that's just like you.
Well, there's another factor involved, too. Mrs. Nelson's mother has a lot of faith in astrology, and she told Mrs. Nelson... This is silly. She told Mrs. Nelson my horoscope said it'd be dangerous for me to go out today, but of course I don't believe in that stuff.
Oh, I wouldn't scoff if I were you. You're talking just the way poor Cousin Susie talked before she passed on.
She didn't believe in astrology?
No. Mother warned her that the horoscope said she shouldn't go roller skating. But how can you reason with anyone 94 years old?
In here, Harriet. Just stacking, looking over my cards.
Oh, the girls are here, and I told them all about your tricks. They're dying to see them.
I've been thinking it over, and I don't think I'll come down, Harriet.
Well, for goodness sakes, why not?
Oh, my tricks aren't really perfected.
Oh? Well, suit yourself, dear.
You mean you aren't even going to coax me?
Oh, of course I am. Please come down, dear. The girls will be terribly disappointed if you don't.
No, Harriet.
There's chocolate cake.
No.
Vanilla ice cream?
No.
That attractive Mrs. Walker's here. She was asking if you're still as handsome as ever.
A chocolate cake? Well, just a few tricks. There you are, ladies. The three of clubs. Please, lady, not too much applause. I get a headache very easily. For my next trick, I shall attempt to find not one, not two, not three, but four hidden cards.
Oh, you can do it, Tootsie Roll.
Thank you, Mrs. Canfield. And now if four of you will take cards, Mrs. Douglas, Mrs. Buckley, Mrs. Dunkel, Mrs. Walker. Oh, Mrs. Walker. Now, each of you look at your card. That's it. Now place them back in the deck. Cut several times. And now, right from the top of the deck, 1, 2, 3, 4, your cards, ladies.
Oh, not for you.
That's going to be sensational.
Oh, you know what you're doing, Tootsie Roll.
Thank you, Mrs. Canfield.
Oh, Mr. Nelson, that was simply marvelous.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mrs. Walker. Oh, Mrs. Walker, take a card.
All right. Now, what shall I do with it?
Why don't you keep it? I have a whole deck.
Is this one of your new tricks, Ozzy?
Oh, no, you're up to your old tricks, aren't you, Tootsie Roll?
Mr. Nelson, this is positively the most amazing trick I've ever seen.
What trick is that, Mrs. Gibbons?
Oh, don't play innocent. You know perfectly well. Look, girls, isn't he marvelous? He didn't even come near me, and here's a card in my ham sandwich.
Oh, well, that must have happened. I think if you'll check that card, you'll find it to be the Six of Salami. Now, this is a new one, girls. I think you'll like this one. Let's see, Mrs. Canfield.
Oh, yes.
Very quickly now, take three cards. Any three.
This one.
Now, according to my calculations, they should all be exactly the same suit. Now, take a look.
Oh, isn't that marvelous? They're all the same.
Thank you, ladies. Here they are, the Two of Spades, the Nine of Diamonds, and the King of Hearts. They're supposed to be the same.
Well, they are, aren't they? They've all got bicycles on the back.
Now, girls, I think I have time for just one more trick. Now, watch carefully.
Girls, I'm so glad that you could all come.
Goodbye.
Wonderful. Goodbye, Tootsie Roll.
Keeps calling me Tootsie Roll. I don't know whether she thinks I'm sweet or I'm built like one.
Oh, what do you care, dear? Everybody had a wonderful time, and you deserve all the credit. You were absolutely terrific.
Oh, thank you, dear. As a matter of fact, I have several engagements requesting my services. Mrs. Gibbons wants us for dinner Friday. Bring my cards. Mrs. Hodges wants us over Saturday. Bring my cards. Mrs. Dunkel wants us over Sunday. Bring my cards. Mrs. Floyd wants me over tomorrow.
Bring your cards?
No, bring my plunger. Her sink is stopped up.
Well, anyway, everybody had a wonderful time, and we owe it all to you.
Well, you wanted me to entertain. The least I could do was try.
Oh, no, dear. That's why I feel so guilty. I did my best to keep you out of the house.
Harriet, what are you trying to give me? You wanted me in the house. I know all about my horoscope saying it'd be dangerous for me to go outdoors today.
What horoscope?
Well, didn't your mother tell you that?
Mother didn't even mention your horoscope.
Well, I got the idea someplace. What are you doing?
I'm just curious. I want to see what your horoscope is for today. See, you're Pisces, aren't you? March 20th. Pisces.
Look under Tootsie Roll.
Here it is. Oh, it's lucky you did stay in today.
Well, then Thorny was right. It could have been dangerous.
Not for you, dear, but for me. Listen to this. Warning to wives. Be careful of your husband. Today is the one day in the year he is irresistible to women. Well, no wonder you were such a tremendous success with your card trick.
Irresistible? Oh, that stuff's a lot of nonsense. Harriet.
Yes, dear?
I think I'll take a stroll down to the corner and get a paper.
Oh, Ozzie, how can you be so cruel?
Cruel?
Well, of course, dear. Didn't you hear your horoscope? You're irresistible to women today.
Oh, Harriet, stop kidding.
But you really are, dear. I ought to know. I'm a woman. Please stay home.
Okay, if it'll make you happy, I'll stay in the house the rest of the day.
Is that a promise?
That's a promise.
Well, thank goodness. I was afraid I was going to have to do all those dishes by myself.
Harriet.
Yes, dear?
Are you asleep?
Not quite. Why?
I just figured out how to do that trick I couldn't remember this afternoon. Take a card.
Ozzie.
Any card at all.
Ozzie.
Yes, dear?
It's after midnight. You're no longer irresistible to women.
Tune in again next week to another adventure of Ozzie and Harriet, starring Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hillier. This is Vern Smith speaking.
This is Horace Height to tell you that in just a few seconds, you'll hear a picked group of America's great young entertainers competing for fame and stardom in our show on NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That's The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet from January 23rd, 1949, as heard on NBC, sponsored by International Silver. Ozzie Nelson, Harriet Hilliard, and the whole gang. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, it is hour two of the WGN Radio Theater, and I am Carl Amari, Lisa Wolf to my right, Elif Garris, our producer. We're all here, and we're here till 2 o'clock in the morning playing classic radio shows for you. And the show we're going to listen to in this hour is called Murder at Midnight, and I purposely put it second, you see?
I did. I saw how you do that. And I am guessing that there will be no other local radio shows that will be playing this exact episode
of
Murder at Midnight.
Let's hope not. And Murder at Midnight, that's this hour. And then in our next hour, a good Western, Have Gun Will Travel. You should call your dad, Mr. Matanky.
Yes.
Because he likes the Westerns.
He likes Have Gun
so
Will Travel.
So call Mr. Matanky up.
You should
and
say it.
Tell him
funny.
That if to
you call him.
Pull over in his Porsche.
You
and listen to, and listen
hey,
to.
Hey, you're
Have
a local celebrity. You call him up.
I am a local celebrity.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
I just got elevated to celebrity status. All right. So all of this is brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This act. actor stars in the upcoming mystery thriller Inferno as a doctor who wakes up in an Italian hospital with amnesia.
Okay.
If you guess this actor correctly, you will win a Lou Malnati's pizza gift certificate for $25.
Yum, yum. All right. Yum. The number to call, 312-981-7200. You'll hear him right here.
I'm not a smart man. But I know what love is.
That's right.
I was going to make a joke, but I'm not going to.
All right, 312-981-7200. Who is that actor? We'll find our winner after this break.
We are back. This is the WGN Radio Theater, and we are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is.
That's a good movie. We've got Jamie on the line from Worth, Illinois. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Lisa.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Can you tell me who that celebrity is?
That is Tom Hanks.
You are right, and you are a winner, and we are so happy to give you a $25 gift certificate for Chicago's best deep dish pizza, Lou Malnati's. You can find one of their 40-plus cool. Chicagoland locations. You can order online at loumalnati's.com, and we hope you have a most delicious pizza on us tonight.
Okay, thank you so much.
Or anytime. Thank you, Jamie.
Thanks
for
calling in. You know, I just saw Tom Hanks in his latest movie, the Clint Eastwood directed Sully.
You saw Sully?
Yeah, when I took my daughter.
What'd you think?
She loved it. I mean, she's 13. She was like, Dad, I don't know if I want to see that.
Right. Well, it's a biography.
And I was like, come on, I want to see it. I really want to see it. And it was fantastic.
Yeah, it got great reviews. I haven't seen it yet, but
I mean,
Tom
Hanks is so good. The special effects are amazing in it. Oh my gosh!
And it's a great story to tell.
Yeah,
so, you know,
really great job to Mr. Eastwood and Tim Moore and to you know all this whole and Mr. Hanks. Tim is one of Clint's producers, and just a great job. And I just loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Kids would love it, too. I mean, you know, it's sort of a family movie. And, you know, obviously people know the story. Saved all 155 people on
board.
Right. But the backstory you may not know. You may not know about how they really kind of the airline went after
TWA,
him.
TWA, right?
No. It was I can't remember. It was a smaller airline. And they kind of went after him because they said, you know what? You could have made it to Teterboro or you could have made it back to LaGuardia.
Yeah.
And they had proof that he could have. And it just goes on and on. I don't want to tell you the story, but it's just a terrific, terrific movie. More than you.
It's U.S. Airways.
Was it? Yeah, U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Airways.
Yeah.
So Tom Hanks, great. And also Aaron Eckhart plays his co-pilot. Terrific movie. Check it out.
Yeah.
All right. It's time now for Murder at Midnight. This was a mystery horror series. It came to ABC Radio in 1946. The interesting thing about this series, Lisa, is Raymond Morgan, who is the host of this series, was a former Long Island minister, and he left the cloth for the excitement of radio. He got, you know, into radio, and he was like,
I
just need to do this instead of
this. Well, I get that.
You know, he left the cloth for the excitement
of
radio.
You know what? We have all left other careers
This is
for
right.
The radio.
This is true. Lisa left queen of the universe and do this radio show.
Oh, no, I'm still there.
Still the queen. 6-year run in syndication. It was broadcast out of New York, so it had all of the great New York actors, Lawson Zerbe, Carl Swenson, Lon Clark, Barry Kroger, and people like that. It was directed by Anton M. Leder. I think you'll really like this series. Let's go back to a broadcast date of March 14th, 1947, for The Man Who Was Death. Here's part one now.
Murder. At midnight.
This is the place for it. Deep down under the city, under the earth, the concrete cold and damp as the stone of a mausoleum. The question is, which one of them shall it be? You, sir? You with the gray hair and the briefcase? Allow me to introduce myself. I am Death.
Midnight, the witching hour when the night is darkest,
Our fears the strongest, and our strength at its lowest ebb. Midnight, when the graves gape open and death strikes. How? You'll learn the answer in just a minute in The Man Who Was Death. Now, Murder at Midnight. Tales of Mystery and Terror by Masters of the Macabre. Our story by Robert Newman is The Man Who Was Death. It's late afternoon in the studio of Jan Roth, the sculptor. The rays of the setting sun come through the smoke-filmed glass of the skylight at an angle, casting long, dark shadows on the dusty floor. His face intense, Roth stands before a more than life-size head of gray granite, cutting away some of the hard stone, then pausing to examine his work.
It's still not right. I still haven't got it. And I don't know where I've gone wrong. The eyes, they would be brooding and half-closed. But shouldn't they be all-seeing? Let's try it. Who's that? Who's there?
It's Aline, Mr. Rawl. Aline Moffat.
Aline? Oh, yes. Just a second. What is it, Aline?
I told you I wouldn't be able to get here until late, Mr. Rawl, that I was going to be modeling for Clayton in the early afternoon, but you said it didn't matter.
Oh, yes, I forgot.
If you don't need me, don't feel like working.
No, it's all right. Maybe it would help if I worked on something else for a change. Come on in.
Something else? Oh, that head.
Is that the first time you've seen it?
Yes. You always kept it covered up before. It looks very powerful.
Powerful, eh? Go on over to it, closer. Tell me who you think it is.
All right. It's a man. Pretty big man.
Man. I knew it wasn't right. But if that's all you get out of it... Where's that mallet?
Mr. Roth, what are you going to do?
This, I'm going to smash it! Almost 6 months' work, but... There! You know what that was supposed to be? Death! I'm going to do something no artist has ever done before. Show mankind the face of death.
Mr. Rolf, I don't think I feel like modeling this afternoon.
You're frightened. Why?
I don't know. The whole idea of...
You too. What I wanted to show was the beauty, the peace that lies in death. Death's strength and inevitability and... Wait a minute.
I'll phone you tomorrow, Mr. Rawl.
I said wait. It's beginning to come to me. What was wrong? To do a study, portray something, you've got to understand it. Inside and out. You've got to know how your subject thinks, feels, project yourself into it. To do a study of death, I've got to know all those things about him. I've got to become death. And that means...
Mr. Rawl, no. No, you can't.
But I can, Aline. I must. How can I understand death? Become death if I don't kill.
Miss Craig?
Yes, Nancy Craig.
I'm Jordan, Harold Jordan of Homicide. I imagine you know why I asked you to come down here to the morgue.
Well, they said it had something to do with my roommate, Aline Moffat. Is she...
If you think you can take it, we'd like you to make the identification.
I think I can.
Ah, good girl. She's right here under the sheet. Ready?
Yes. Oh, Lee. How did it happen?
And I'll cover her up. Well, we traced the laundry mark. We're pretty sure we knew who she was.
How did it happen?
She was found in the river. But she was dead before she went in, strangled.
Murdered? Oh, but why? By whom?
We don't know. We thought you might help us with that, too. Tell us what you know about her.
There's not much to tell. She was a wonderful girl. Came from out of town, out west somewhere. She... You wouldn't know it from the way she looks now, but she was beautiful. She used to do modeling.
Any boyfriends?
Oh, no one in particular. She went out with a lot of different men. Everyone liked her. It's why I can't understand.
Who did she model for?
A few photographers, but mostly painters and sculptors. Let me see. There was Jensen, Clayton, Rolf. As a matter of fact, I think she was posing for both Clayton and Rolf.
Better this time, much better. Things I can put into it that I never knew, never felt before. Now, let's see. No, still not right. Still something missing in, not just a shade of expression, but something basic, one of the keys to the whole concept. But what? Haven't I played Death's role, killed just as he does? Haven't I... Wait, that's it. Of course. Is that how death strikes, without thought, on the spur of the moment? No. He picks and chooses, decides just who shall die and who shall not. What's missing is the consciousness of power, the knowledge that there is no appeal from death, that he is the supreme authority. And that means that, yes, I must kill again. And this time... Who? Who's that?
Police department. Can we come in and talk to you for a minute?
Why, yes, of course. Just a second. Police. They don't know anything. They can't know. But I'd better cover this up.
Mr. Rolf?
Yes.
I'm Jordan of Homicide. This is Nancy Craig. Sorry to bother you at this time of night.
No bother at all. Please come in.
Thank you.
I'm investigating the murder of Miss Craig's roommate, Aline Moffat.
Murder?
You didn't know?
Why, no. I never read the papers. And the last time I saw her, 2 or 3 days ago.
Well, it happened just 2 days ago. Now, we've been checking back. We have an idea that you may have been one of the last people to see her alive.
If there's anything I can do to help, anything at all...
Could you tell us what happened when you did see her last?
Of course. She was due here at 3 o'clock, but actually came at about 5.
Mm-hmm.
She said another artist had delayed her.
Clayton, that's right.
I had already started working on something else, and since she looked so tired, I suggested we call the whole thing off. She seemed pretty happy about it. Left, and I'm afraid that's all I know.
Was there anyone else here? Anyone that actually saw her leave?
I'm afraid not. You see, I'm the only tenant in the building who lives here, and I'm afraid everyone else had gone by then.
Hmm. Well, that sounds pretty straight to me. I guess that's that. Thanks very much, Mr. Rolf.
Not at all. I'm afraid I haven't been much help. But if you can think of anything I can do...
We'll keep in touch with you. And in the meantime, well, maybe you should start reading the papers just every once in a while, huh?
Right. I hope you read them too, my friend. Especially tomorrow's papers. Because I have a feeling that there just might be something in them that will interest you. Night. And a fine small rain. Yes, this is how he would move. Walking slowly through the darkness. Searching. Weighing. Selecting his victim.
I beg your pardon,
what?
Sir. But could you tell me if that's the uptown subway over there?
Why, yes. I believe it is.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Not at all. Subway. What better place to make my choice than there? Deep under the earth. The concrete cold and damp as the stone of a mausoleum. Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
That is definitely an organ, Lisa.
You are right,
Lisa, Carl. Lisa likes the shows with the organ.
I do.
Generally, it's a very scary mystery when it has the organ like
that's
that.
That's true. It's very suspenseful music.
It definitely is. That's the first portion of The Man Who Was Death from 1947 on Murder at Midnight. Let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, Lisa, how close are we to getting you some pretzels?
let me count for you.
We had seven or eight before.
We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Oh, you need another 8.
Right.
Before you get any pretzels.
Come on.
I think you're setting it kind of, you're really.
Really? A high bar?
Yeah.
He's hard on me. I know she can get it.
Huh?
He's hard on me.
He's extremely difficult. Seriously.
He's difficult to work with.
Really?
He doesn't want me to succeed. He's trying to get me to fail.
All right, hang on. Let's let a third party decide. Okay. Elif, am I hard to work with? Am I difficult?
You have your moments.
She's being diplomatic.
Oh, my. Wow. I thought I was for sure going to get a no. You're so sweet.
Oh, with me?
We're talking about you?
Yeah. You mean between the two of you, I would say you have your moments. But with you and I, it's like all the time.
We're just battling. We're like the battling Bickersons, the two of us.
Bickersons, yeah.
But Ella's pretty tough. She one time had me in an arm lock. Man, I tell you. My arm still hurts. I think it came out of the socket a little bit.
What made you think I didn't have these guns?
Yeah, those guns, man. Not even Obama can take those guns away from you.
Ooh, where's the rim shot? Come on.
I don't have it here handy
otherwise. All right, so are you enjoying this murder mystery on Murder at Midnight,
Roger?
Ooh,
I love this one. I've never heard this series.
Oh, yeah, no,
this
great
is great
series. It was on the air for 6 years. So we're tuning in to The Man Who Was Death from March 14, 1947. Here's the conclusion now to Murder at Midnight.
Yes, this is it. This is the place. The tunnel dark as a yawning grave. The platform edge like the verge of infinity. And this is how he must feel. Studying. Selecting. Which one of you shall it be? You, madam, with the worn coat and the draggled hat. Why are you looking at me like that? Do you know what's in my mind? Don't be afraid. It won't be you. You, young man, with the books and the glasses. No. Then what about... Yes. Down there at the end of the platform, my friend who suggested this. My prosperous-looking friend with the gray hair and the briefcase. Don't look up at the track so impatiently. A train is coming. But so am I. Good evening.
I beg your pardon, sir, but I'm afraid... Oh, I didn't recognize you at first. Why, you're the chap.
Directed you down here, yes. But I felt that you should know exactly who it was you spoke to. Allow me to introduce myself. I am dead.
What? What do you mean? What are you doing to me? Let go! Let go!
Quietly, the man who is death steps back from the edge of the platform as the train grinds to a stop. A woman screams. And somewhere in the distance, a clock strikes 12 for...
Murder! At midnight.
It's late the next afternoon, and Jordan is alone in his bare cubbyhole in police headquarters when there is a knock on the door.
Come.
Hello, Mr. Jordan.
Oh, hello, Nancy.
You don't seem very happy to see me.
I am, and I'm not. It's a nice change to have someone as pretty as you come down here. On the other hand...
You haven't gotten anywhere with Aline's murder.
Nah, no motive, no clue, no nothing. I'm afraid we're licked.
But you can't be. You can't give up.
I'm sorry, Nancy. I don't like it either. But, well, it happens sometimes.
But you can't let it happen. Not in this case.
Yeah, you're pretty well wound up, aren't you? How about letting me take you out, buy you dinner?
No. I am upset, yes, but...
What's the matter?
Well, maybe it's nerves. That trip down to the morgue, the whole atmosphere around the case, but... Would you think I was mad if I told you I felt that some horrible power was abroad? That Death himself was stalking through the city?
Mm. You and Mrs. Dolan.
Mrs. Dolan? Who's she?
Well, that accident in the subway last night, a guy who fell or jumped in front of a train. Didn't you read about it?
No.
Well, this Mrs. Dolan was one of the witnesses, and she swears that just before it happened, she went all goose pimples, felt as if Death was breathing down the back of her neck and that she was going to die.
It's true, Hal. I know it is. I mean, well, that's exactly how I felt. I can't remember just where or when, but sometime during these past few days, I felt that I was in the same room with Death myself.
Hmm. Well, like you said, it's probably nerves, strain you've been under. Just the same, it's kind of a funny coincidence. I think maybe I'll go see Mrs. Dolan, talk to her. Do you want to come?
I don't believe so, Hal. Somehow I feel we're awfully close to the answer. If I could just remember where and when it was I felt that way, that I was in Death's presence, I think I'll go home.
Okay, Nancy. I'll call you there after I talk to Mrs. Dolan, and, well, maybe we'll find that we really have something.
Just a little more off the cheekbones. Get the gaunt feeling of a skull under the flesh. No, no, it's still not right. Still something missing. What is it this time? Didn't I stalk and select my victim? Didn't he recognize me for what I was? Death himself. And didn't... Wait. Of course. It's never just the victim alone who knows, fears, and fights against death. It's all of society, medicine, science, the police. All of man's resources from time immemorial lined up against death. And he still triumphs over them. That is the secret and the measure of his omnipotence. That is the last missing element. And that means that I must kill yet again. And this time, not just the victim, but the whole world must know it and be powerless to stop me. This time. Who's that? Who's there?
Nancy Craig, Mr. Ross. I don't know if you remember me.
Nancy? Oh, yes, just a second.
I'm awfully sorry to be bothering you again,
That's perfectly all right. Isn't Mr. Jordan with you?
No, I came alone. Well, there was a little experiment I wanted to try.
Oh, please come in.
Thank you.
Just what was this experiment?
It was probably pretty silly, but I had to try it. Thinking back, I had a queer feeling that... What's that?
That bust? Something I'm working on. Something I hope will be my masterpiece. Do you like it?
I'm afraid I... No. Oh, it's awful. It's terrible. It was here that I felt it. Here in the studio, And you...
Yes, Nancy. It was I who killed Aline Moffat and also a gray-haired gentleman with a briefcase in the subway last night.
That piece in the paper, Mrs. Dolan.
Exactly. You see, that bust over there is a study of death. And to do a study, you must project yourself inside your subject. That meant I had to become death.
Oh.
Where are you going?
Out of here, you're mad.
No good, Nancy, no good. I locked the door when you came in.
Oh, but you can't. Help! Help me! Help! Help!
No good either. We're 5 stories up, and all the other tenants have gone. You came here at a very opportune time for me. I had just decided I needed one final victim. And I'm afraid that's going to be you.
Never forget it, Mr. Jordan. It was pretty late, about 12 o'clock, and it was raining. There were only a couple of people on the subway platform, 3 or 4, and I was standing by myself, not thinking about anything in particular, when suddenly this feeling came over me.
Now, what kind of a feeling?
Oh, a feeling that this was the end, a feeling that death was standing there, right close behind me. I got so weak and shaky that I thought I was going to faint. I shut my eyes and leaned against one of the posts, and that's how it was that I didn't actually see the accident.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you turn around when you had that funny feeling? Did you notice whether there actually was anyone standing behind you?
I did. There was just a young fellow with glasses and another man, kind of strange looking, now that I think of it.
Strange? How?
He was about 35 or 40, pretty big. I guess it was his hair. He wasn't wearing any hat, and, well, he was almost white and very long and bushy.
What? Did he have a thin face, gaunt and deep-set eyes?
Why, yes, I think he did have. Do you know him?
I'm not sure. If I do, then I may know a lot of other things, too. Good Lord. Nancy.
What?
I've got to get out of here.
Just a second, young fellow. Where do you think you're going?
In there. No one's going to... Hanrahan.
Oh, there you are. Jordan, where the blazes have you been?
What do you mean? What's going on?
A devil of a business. A lunatic in the top floor studio there. He phoned headquarters, asked for you. Said that he had a girl there that he was going to murder. Said that he wanted us to know, even though there was nothing we could do to stop him. We thought it was a gag at first.
Well, what are you doing about it?
Everything that can be done. I've got men all around the building. Up on the roof, across the street, outside his door.
Can't you break down the door?
Sure, and finish her off quick. He said that if we tried it, he'd bash her brains out with that big hammer that he's working with.
But there must be something, a Tommy gun from the roof across the street.
He's got her right in front of him, so that if you got him, you'd get her too. I tell you, there's nothing, absolutely nothing anyone can do.
You're wrong, Hanrahan. There's just one person, one thing that can stop him.
What's that?
Death. You're getting impatient, my dear.
Oh, why are you doing this? You know you can't get away with it.
Get away with it. You think I care that it matters to me whether I live or die when I finish this? I'll never be able to surpass this, but neither will anyone else. I know now how death must feel. And I've caught it forever, for all men to see in stone.
Yes, friend Rolf, you have. And you've made me very proud.
What? Who's that?
You don't know. Even though I've been on your mind for months now, even though you're just finishing my portrait.
You? Where are you?
Where would I be? Everywhere. Outside in the hall. Down in the street. Here in the studio with you.
Can you be seen? I must see you. I must.
Very well. Walk this way. Over towards the door. A little further.
All right, here I am, Rolf. Maybe I don't look the way you thought I would.
Jordan.
Yes. Now drop that mallet and get your hands up.
It was you, and I thought...
Get him up, Rolf, I said.
I'll get you.
If that's the way you want it.
Help!
It's okay, baby. It's all over now. Have you loose in a minute.
Jordan, are you all right?
Yes, break the door down if you want to come in. I'm busy.
Got him. But how?
I talked to him through the vent pipe from up on the roof. I figured that if he was crazy enough to do all the things he did do, he might be crazy enough to believe death could pay him a visit. When I'd maneuvered him far enough away from Nancy here, I jumped through the skylight.
Hal, look.
Good Lord.
What is it?
That bust he was working on. He said it was a study of death. And in a way, I guess it is. Because it's a self-portrait.
Two men and a girl, staring down at the body of the dead sculptor, lying next to his weird masterpiece. But is it possible that there is still someone else in the studio? an unseen presence that has been there since the clock first struck 12 for
murder at midnight. Remember to be with us again when death walks through the darkened streets while the clocks strike 12 for murder at midnight.
The part of Jan Rolfe was played by Frank Behrens. With music by Charles Paul, Murder at Midnight was directed by Anton M. Leder.
Oh, that is Murder at Midnight from March 14th, 1947, The Man Who Was Death, starring Frank Behrens. And the host of that was Raymond Morgan. And that was heard on KFI Los Angeles, out of KFI Los Angeles. Good murder mystery on Murder at Midnight. And yes, we did have over 15 pictures of cats come in. So Lisa is the proud winner of a Old Time Pretzels by Snyder's. And in fact, we're going to post a picture of me feeding Lisa her first pretzel of the evening. So congratulations, Lisa.
Hey, what's the expiration date on that thing?
Uh-oh. 6 years ago.
It's December 24th of 2016. I'm good to go.
Oh, boy, you're good to go. All right, let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop, and let's play it one more time.
Rogaine, check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine. Check.
That sounds like me, doesn't it? Use it, Carl.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got Jim on the line from Chicago. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good,
Jim.
Good. How are you?
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Great. Who is that actor, Jim?
I guess it was Ed Helms.
It is Ed Helms. Jim, you are a winner. You've won a Lou Malnati's gift certificate for $25, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza, my favorite, Carl's favorite. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. We hope you have a delicious pizza on us.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you again for calling and for listening.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks
Take
very
care.
Much. You know what, Lisa?
What,
I was over by visiting my mom and my sister in Buffalo Grove the other day, and they were hungry. Guess where I went?
Oh, there's a Lou Malnati's in
I
Buffalo
Grove.
I went to
Lou Malnati's, picked up a pizza.
We were there not too long ago, but we didn't have pizza.
I know.
That was a mistake.
But you know what? They do have pizza there.
Well, we'll have to try it again.
Yeah, I went to the Buffalo Grove. Buffalo Grove Lou Malnati's.
Did you have pizza?
Yeah.
Without me?
I got
Without
spinach.
Me?
Deep
That's
dish.
That's my favorite.
Deep dish spinach.
That's the best.
And
did you invite me?
Devoured it.
Did you save some for me?
No, no.
Did you think of me?
Yeah, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then we're okay.
I think about you all the time, Lisa.
When you're eating pizza, when you're not eating pizza.
24/7.
Well, of course.
7 days a week. All right. So it's time for Have Gun, Will Travel. This was an adult Western. You know, there's all kinds of Westerns on the radio, Lisa. Some were aimed at children. Some were aimed at adults. And Have Gun, Will Travel and Gunsmoke, Fort Laramie, these were aimed at adults. Now, this began as a television series. Very odd. It became a radio series after it became a television series. One of the only shows to do
right.
that. And it starred Richard Boone on television as Paladin, and on radio it was John Daner. Did you know that Gene Roddenberry, who created Star Trek, wrote 24 episodes of Have Gun, Will Travel? He was a writer on the series. All right, so let's tune this in. I think you're going to like it. Part one of The Lonely One. This stars, of course, John Daner as Paladin from January 10th, 1960. Part one of Have Gun, Will Travel.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to tell that girl exactly how you feel. If you don't, we'll meet with guns, and only one of us will walk away. Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875. The Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
It is your move, Miss Wong.
Well, Miss Wong have duties to perform. He boy must do them.
Oh, duties can wait. You move.
Mr. Paladin, must I move?
I'm afraid you'll have to, Miss Wong, or resign the game.
Oh, that is good. Miss Wong, resign.
Oh, no, no, you cannot do that. You win from Hey Boy. Now, Hey Boy win from you.
Hey Boy, if she resigns, you're the winner.
No, 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 she robbed me of pleasure of winning. You move.
Oh.
You move.
Very well. Checkmate.
Oh, you have duties. Why do you not do them? Hey Boy have duties also.
Hey Boy takes his chess so seriously.
Mr. Wong, very unwise to make Hey Boy angry.
No, he'll get over it. But perhaps the next time, Miss Wong, just a small amount of discretion.
But when you teach me to play chess, you not teach me how to lose.
Well, yes, but every woman must know how to lose, Miss Wong, and when.
Miss Wong will remember.
Good.
You need help now, Mr. Paladin?
No, thank you. I'm all packed and ready to go.
Do you stay long?
Well, I don't think so.
Is the job with danger?
Possibly. Melvin Jeffrey had sent me $500 to come to Porterville. It seemed he was having trouble with a man named Court Newman. I'd once known a sergeant in the cavalry during the war by that name, and I was curious to see if he was the same person. The sun was setting when I arrived in the little town, propped casually on the sloping foothills of the Sierras. Jeffrey met me at the hotel and insisted I have dinner at his home. His daughter, Myra, had prepared an excellent meal which would have been more enjoyable without the uneasy silence between the banker and his daughter. Oh, that was a fine dinner, Miss Jeffrey. You're a superb cook.
It takes time to learn to cook. I have a lot of time.
Yes, I guess we all do. The difference is in how we use it.
How do you use yours, Mr. Paladin, with a gun?
Myra, that's uncalled for.
Is it? That's what he is, isn't he? A gunfighter?
Oh, she's upset, Paladin. She didn't want me to send for you.
Should I, Father? When you're trying to take Court from me, hiring a gunfighter to kick him out of town?
He's no good for you.
No man's any good for me as far as you're concerned. It's always been that way.
Court Newman wants to marry you just so he can get to my money.
Why do you keep saying that?
Because you're Melvin Jeffrey's daughter and we have money. Now, let's not discuss
you
it any
further. You think money is everything? You think that's all I have to offer a man? Will money cure the loneliness inside of me?
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, Father. No, you don't.
She's wrought up, Paladin. You'll have to excuse her.
Maybe she has a reason.
Reason? Let me tell you something, Paladin. I've worked hard for my money all my life. I've scrimped and saved, and I've got something to show for it. That's why no man like Court Newman or anybody else is going to take it away from me. Or my daughter.
You sure that's what he's trying to do?
You bet it is. He's just like his folks. They're always trying to get money from me. But Court figures he'll get it for nothing.
His parents live in Porterville?
Yeah, he used to. Had a miserable little ranch outside of town. They're always trying to borrow on it. I had to foreclose. They wouldn't keep up payments.
I see. Well, I have to get back to the hotel. Thanks for the dinner, Mr. Jeffrey.
Yeah, I'll walk you to the door.
Thank you.
Sorry you have to leave so early.
Well, it was a hard ride from San Francisco. I need a good night's sleep.
And don't forget what you came here for. Get Court Newman. And I don't care how you do it.
I haven't said I'd take the job.
Not take it. I paid you $500 to come here.
You'll get your money back if I decide not to work for you. But if I do take the job, I'll see to it my own way. Good night, Mr. Jeffrey.
Mr. Paladin?
Huh? Oh, Miss Jeffrey.
I wanted to see you alone.
Why?
There's one thing you have to know. My father's wrong about Court.
Is he?
Yes. There was another man once a long time ago, and it was the same thing. A gunfighter was hired, and my friend was beaten and chased away. But it won't happen this time.
Miss Jeffrey, I am not planning on beating anyone.
I'm not young and pretty anymore, Mr. Paladin. But Court loves me, and I love him.
I'm sure you do.
Then you remember this. Nothing's going to keep us apart. Not my father, not you, not anybody.
Constipation can be a problem for anyone, even doctors. And when constipation occurs, it's interesting to see just what doctors consider important about a laxative they might use or recommend. Well, a majority of the doctors we heard from had this to say. A laxative should be effective, gentle, as close to natural acting as possible, and a medicine that can be used with complete confidence. Now, X-Lax has been popular with many doctors and millions of people over the years because chocolated X-Lax is effective. Overnight, it helps you toward your normal regularity. X-Lax is gentle. Next morning, it gives you the closest thing to natural action. And that's why many doctors and millions of people use X-Lax with complete confidence. X-Lax, the laxative that helps you toward your normal regularity gently. Overnight.
Is X-Lax in your medicine cabinet?
No, it's in Lisa's purse.
Right? Yes, I carry it around with me in case Ella needs some, because she often asks me to borrow
this. This should help you with those problems you were telling me about.
Well,
Lisa.
I carry it around for Ella.
Yeah.
She's troubled.
Thanks for outing me, Lisa.
So sorry.
Our relationship, professional relationship has come to an end.
Well, that was my plan.
She threw
so
you right
good.
Under the bus there, Aleph. Yeah. What's the weather like down there? All right, so that's the first portion of X-Lax. I mean, of Have Gun, Will Travel. We'll get back to this January 10th, 1960 episode in a few moments. But first, these words. All right, Lisa Wolf, ready to get back to this good Western adventure of Have Gun, Will Travel?
Yes, sir.
Our text line, just in case you want to text us, folks, is 312-981-7200. Our Facebook page is WGN Radio Theater. Just search that, right?
Right, and
on Facebook?
And hop right on.
Yeah, and like us when you do that,
yeah,
please.
Like
is there a
us.
Picture of me feeding you pretzels that
I
you
don't
won?
Oh, Elif?
Is it up there yet or no?
It's not up yet, no.
Oh, okay.
It will be soon, though.
It will be soon.
Hop on it, Elif.
Okay.
Ooh, oh. Listen to that.
Wait. I don't have a sound effect for that.
I can only say that because she knows I'm kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure you are.
Yeah, sure you
better.
Are.
Yeah, right.
All right.
Passive aggressive, right?
All right, we're listening to Have Gun, Will Travel. It's called The Lonely One. From January 10th, 1960, here's the conclusion of Have Gun, Will Travel.
I could see the haunting loneliness in the eyes of Myra Jeffrey. The loneliness of a woman who had missed love, who had been denied it by a possessive, selfish father. And I could see something else. A fierce pride that must have made it difficult for her to talk to me about her feeling for Court. The next morning, I decided to look up Court Newman and get his side of it. I found him in the Porterville Saloon, and even though I had halfway expected it, I was surprised to see he was the man I had known years before, Sergeant Newman of the United States Cavalry.
K.
Captain.
Hey, Sergeant.
Captain Paladin.
Hello, Sergeant. How are you? Or should I say Mr. now?
You sure should, Captain. I got me a discharge over a year now. By golly, it's good to see
well,
you. Yeah, it's been 8 to 10 years.
Yes, it has at that.
Well, what are you doing in these parts? You live around here?
No, might say I'm just passing through.
Well, now, don't that beat all. It just shows it's a small little world, don't it?
Well, how about you, Coy? What are you doing?
Oh, I live here about.
You mean in town?
That's right. Yeah, a little place, but... Ah, well, I don't want to burn your ear with that kind of talk. Now, come on, let's sit at a table. I'll buy you a beer. Barkeep?
Yeah?
Bring 2 beers to the table there in the corner.
Yes, sir.
Well, what kind of work are you doing out, Court?
Oh, you know, ranch work, mostly.
Oh? You know, it's funny, I always figured that you were a lifetime Army man.
So did I, but things happen.
Oh, how so?
Well, like I said, Captain, I don't want to burn your ear with that kind of talk.
I'm interested, Court.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
Well, I got my discharge. I figured on re-enlisting right away. But I wanted to come back and visit my folks a while first.
I see.
They had a little spread out of town, but when I got here, I found they'd been thrown out, clear off their property.
By the banker?
Yeah, he... Well, how'd you know that?
I know, Mr. Jeffrey.
Oh, well, my folks are proud people, Captain. What happened, like to broke them.
Well, were they cheated out of their ranch, Court?
I'll say they were. They just fell back on some of their payments and that stinking banker foreclosed on them.
Well, that sounds like the law was in Jeffrey's favor.
Well, that don't make it right.
Maybe not.
But you know what? I'm going to get that, Jeffrey. I'm going to fix him good for what he done to my folks. I'm already working on it.
You are, huh?
Yeah, I sure am. There's 2 things in this world that man thinks about. One's money, and the other is his daughter, in that order.
So?
So I've been playing up to his daughter for quite a spell now, and I got her eaten out of my hand.
I take it then you don't particularly care about
her? Of course not. But I'm going to marry her, Captain. Yes, sir, I'm going to marry her, and then I'll have half of what belongs to that old skinflint, his daughter and whatever money she's worth.
That's a pretty rotten thing to do, Court.
What?
Have you ever stopped to think of what you might be doing to the girl?
What are you getting so uppity about?
Court, where did you bury your self-respect? That girl loves you.
How come you know so much anyway? I thought you was just passing through it. Now, wait a minute. Now it's getting clear. She told me that old miser was going to hire a gunfighter to get rid of me. You're the one. You're him, aren't you?
What's happened to you, Court? You're not the same man I used to know.
I'm the same one, right enough.
Thanks for the beer.
Captain?
Yeah?
There's just one thing.
What's that?
Maybe you remember there was only one man in our whole cavalry outfit could handle a gun better than you. And that was me.
Oh, Miss Jeffrey.
May I come in?
Oh, well, please, yes, of course.
Mr. Paladin, I'll not waste your time. How much is my father paying you to get rid of Court?
Well, now, I...
It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, I'll double it if you leave town right now.
I can't do that.
Why?
If I leave, he'll just hire someone else.
I'll worry about that when it happens.
Oh. Have you ever thought that maybe your father is right about Court Newman?
Don't say that. Don't you ever say that.
It could be true.
No. Court loves me. Please leave, Mr. Paladin.
I'm sorry, I can't.
I'm begging you.
I'm sorry. Now, it isn't that I'd... Oh, now, wait a minute.
I'm going to kill you, Mr. Paladin.
Now, you better think very carefully before you pull that trigger.
You leave me no choice. I've got to do it.
Drop the gun, man.
No.
Drop it.
No.
Now, that was a very foolish thing to try.
You don't know how it is. Please leave us alone.
Miss Jeffrey, I want you to do something for me.
What?
Stay here in my room until I get back.
Why? What are you going to do?
I'm going to find Court Newman. Court, get up.
Is this it, Paladin? Is this the time?
This is the time, but not for a gunfight. Now get up.
Get up. I'll kill you, Paladin.
All right, get up, Court. Get up. I want to hit you again.
No, I can't. I've had enough.
I gotta tell you something, Court. Myra Jeffrey is up in my room.
What's she doing there?
She loves you. She loves you so much she tried to kill me to keep you from getting hurt.
What?
Just a few minutes ago in my room.
She...
You're going up to that room and you're going to tell her the truth about how you've been leading her on. But you're going to tell her gentle and easy, Court, because if you don't, we will meet with guns. But only one of us will walk away.
You think she came here from the hotel room, Paladin?
I hope so.
Paladin, what's Newman doing here?
Mr. Jeffrey?
Get off my place.
Mr. Jeffrey, is your daughter here?
Yes, she's here. Came busting in a few minutes ago and ran right to her room. Now, what's this all about?
It's my fault, Mr. Jeffrey. Paladin here finally beat some sense into me, and I told her.
Told her what?
About how I didn't really love her at all.
You told her that?
That's right. I want to tell her how sorry I am.
Paladin, you did it. You made this saddle tramp eat dirt. Now Myra won't be so smart. Now she'll listen to me.
She's been listening to you too many years, Jeffrey.
Oh, is that so? Well, I was right, wasn't I?
Yes, you were right about Court, but you were wrong about a lot of other things.
What? That came from Myra's room. What have you done?
I didn't really mean to. It was an accident.
How did it happen?
Oh, just an accident. That's all.
Go get a doctor, Paladin.
No. It's too late. Maybe it's best this way.
Don't say that.
I couldn't stand the loneliness anymore. Not again.
But I'd give you anything, anything in the world.
Except love. That's one thing you couldn't give me.
What do you mean?
Court.
I'm here, Myra.
I'm sorry, Court. I'm sorry I wasn't pretty enough for you.
Myra.
I did this, Paladin. I did this to her.
You dirty, filthy saddle tramp. You murdered my daughter. You killed her.
No. No, Mr. Jeffrey. He was just the last reason. She started dying a long time ago. When you forgot that a human being has to have love.
Your newspapers, Mr. Paladin.
Oh, thank you, hey boy.
Hey boy, notice you feel sad when you came back from trip. You feel it better now?
Oh, yes, much better, thank you.
Oh, that is good.
Is that the only reason you're grinning?
Oh, no, sir, no. Hey boy, very happy. Hey boy, very good chess player.
Oh?
Oh, yes. Play 10 games, win all 10.
10 games? Huh? With whom?
Oh, Missy Wong. I think she just lucky before. Now, hey boy, win first 4 moves.
First four moves? Yes, you mean that you won all 10 games in the first four moves?
Oh, yes, sir.
Well, I'd say that was carrying discretion a little too far.
Hey, boy, not understand.
No, never mind, hey, boy.
Yes, sir. I go now, Mr. Paladin. Have duties.
All right, hey, boy. Thank you.
Excuse, please, Mr. Paladin.
Oh, hello, Miss Wong.
I see hey, boy, talking to you. He tell you what chess games.
Yes, he did. Now, 10 games I can understand, but letting him win all 10 in the first four moves, Miss Wong, I think you missed the point.
Oh, no, sir. Miss Wong, not Miss Point. She make him, I think he very good chess player. Let him win games.
Well, yes, but yes. I think you're being a little too obvious. You should give him 20 or 30 moves before you let him win.
Oh, Mr. Paladin cannot do that. If Miss Wong let hey boy have more than four moves, he lose again. He very bad chess player.
Miss Wong, you win.
Oh, brother, this miserable cold and my sinuses.
Haven't you heard about Dristan? Dristan decongestant tablets not only help drain all 8 sinus cavities, critical areas of cold's infection, but circulating through the blood, Dristan reaches all congested areas. In one fast-acting, uncoated, 3-layer tablet, Dristan, for the first time, combines
a decongestant to shrink all swollen membranes, relieve pressure and pain.
An exclusive anti-allergent to help keep breathing passages dry and clear.
Pain relievers to ease body aches, reduce fever.
Vitamin C to help build body resistance. This is Dristan. Today, Dristan is widely imitated, but the exclusive Dristan formula cannot be duplicated. For real relief from colds, misery, and sinus congestion, there's nothing, nothing like Dristan decongestant tablets.
Have gun. Will Travel, created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed in Hollywood by Frank Paris and stars John Daner as Paladin, with Ben Wright as Hayboy and Virginia Gregg as Miss Wong. Tonight's story was specially written for Have Gun, Will Travel by Ray Kemper. Featured in the cast were Jack Moyles, Paul Dubov, and Gene Bates. We'd like to give a sincere welcome to 3 new affiliate stations of the CBS Radio Network. KBEE, Modesto, California, KFBK, Sacramento, California, and WATV, Birmingham, Alabama. This is Hugh Douglas inviting you to join us again next week when CBS Radio presents Have Gun, Will Travel.
That's Have Gun, Will Travel from January 10th, 1960, The Lonely One. And X-Lax was one of the sponsors there. Dristan.
Yes.
These are all products Lisa needs.
Yes.
And
I
uses.
Clear out my nasal cavities at
yes.
night.
And John Daner starring as Paladin on radio. But on television, Richard Boone was good old Paladin. Hope you enjoyed Have Gun, Will Travel. Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. When we come back here tonight, Lisa and I will have 3 more classes.
No. We're going to have 2 shows. We're starting
at
midnight tonight.
Yeah, that's right. We're starting
at
midnight.
1 hour late.
An hour late. This Is Your FBI and the Screen Director's Playhouse. Don't miss that. We have David Plyer is in the house. What's up, Dave?
Good morning, everybody.
How are you?
I am good.
And I think we're going to be going to a breaking story in just a few minutes here. But what's on the show tonight?
Well, we've got a couple things. We're going to talk about a little postseason baseball that's going to be coming up and preseason hockey. We're going to talk to John Records Landecker, which will be fun. You know, he's been jet-setting to Hollywood to support his daughter, who's in Transparent.
Amy. Yeah, she's terrific.
Yep. And what else? We've got all kinds of stuff. Chicago PD talking about the history of breakfast cereals, how perfect as we go into a Sunday morning. And it's Charles Osgood's last CBS Sunday morning, so we're going to talk to him as well.
Yeah, oh, wow. Gosh, what a great lineup. Fantastic.
Yep, absolutely.
As always,
Amy Landecker, terrific actress. She was actually, you know that movie that Jeff was in that we were talking about last week.
Yeah.
Same movie. Amy was in that movie.
Get out of here.
Yeah, yeah. Amy was in
Did not know that.
Uh-huh, yeah.
All those Chicago
connections,
right? If
you could find that movie online, it's a very funny movie. It's called Temporary Girl. And she was in that. At 2 o'clock in the morning, we'll have the news. And then, of course, Dave Plyer, he has a terrific show lined up. And so I didn't realize that Charlie Osgood, this is last CBS Sunday morning.
And I got to tell you, that is one of, I'm going to have to say, weekly top three shows I watch.
Yeah, like, it's a great show.
Not live because I'm sleeping by then. But
remember when Andy Rooney was on there? I used to like Andy Rooney.
Was Andy on there too?
Yeah, Andy Rooney. Wasn't he on there? Or, no, that was 60
Minutes.
That was 60
Minutes. Yeah,
60
Minutes.
Charles Kuralt, of course, held that. Yeah. But Charlie's been doing it for 22 years.
Yeah.
And he's, I think he's going to be 84.
Wow.
That's about right.
And just decided, I think he knew in the beginning of the year, that things were going to change a little bit, that he was ready to kind of step down. And so there's several people up for that hosting role. I know Jane Pauley is one of them. And then there's a couple other correspondents that are going to switch off. I think they're going to name somebody probably later in the year, earlier in the year. But one of the most smartest shows on television.
Yep.
It's just great to see every single week. So we'll be looking forward to that later today, and we'll look forward to hearing you at midnight after the Bears game, obviously.
Yes, we'll be here, and then, of course, Monday are the first debates.
Monday night.
Yeah.
First of, four or five debates? No, like three debates?
Yeah.
I think three debates, yeah. All right, so that's it for Lisa and I and Elif. Stay tuned for Dave Plyer, and thanks for listening. We'll be back here at midnight.